test is over. How do you feel, Andy?
I'm very pleased. That's wonderful. Now we can move on. We can get these tenants out of the house and we can clean up and move on. Great.
And hopefully get the money back.
Yes, hopefully.
Welcome to the HMO Success Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Whittaker-Large, and I'm here to help you create a profitable HMO portfolio. Whether you're a brand new investor or you've been at it for a number of years, my podcast is here to help you make the most from your business, whether that is starting up, scaling, or systemizing. Please hit the subscribe button to make sure you never miss an episode. And if you've got an awe-inspiring project, an inspirational investing story, or a unique approach to HMOs, I'd love to hear from you.
This afternoon, we went to court, and it's not very often that I have to go to court, but I have to say, as a landlord, as a property investor, unfortunately, it's one of those activities that you sometimes have to brace yourself for because it's very necessary if you're going to reclaim your property. So today's episode of the HMO Success Podcast is to give you five tips about how to deal with an eviction. If you've got a tenant who is behind in their rent or is causing problems, how do you make sure that you evict them and you still stay sane at the end of the process? When you realise that one of your tenants is so far behind with their rent, they're so far in arrears that you now are not going to get paid and you really have to take some action, it's a very painful moment. And one of the things that I would like to say on this episode is the emotional side of it that comes up when you're dealing with evictions. Evictions are really unpleasant. It's probably one of the most kind of combative, argumentative situations that you'll ever have with a tenant. And it's a really unhappy place for everybody to be sitting in a court having to argue their case for why somebody should leave a property. Clearly, if they haven't been paying their rent, though, for weeks or months on end, you, as the owner of the property, have the right to get it back. But going to court, having to prepare all the paperwork, possibly having to use outside legal advice as well, which is expensive, it's incredibly painful. So the first thing I'd say is try and avoid it at all costs. Mostly with our tenants, we try and work out either a payment plan for arrears, we try and encourage them to move out of the property, or we try in some other way to enable them to realise that these arrears, unless they're dealt with, will result in illegal action. And quite often, that does the trick. The threat of legal action is enough to get them to think, I'll either move out or I'll start paying or I'll find some solution. And I would say that in 95% of cases, we don't actually have to go to court. But unfortunately, we had a situation that this afternoon was resolved in court. Hallelujah. And this was actually not an HMO room. In fact, I would almost say that HMO rooms are a little bit easier to deal with than single buy-to-lets when it comes to eviction. Why would I say that? Well, the benefit of having an HMO is that you as the landlord are able to go into the communal areas whenever you want to. You don't have to give notice to go into those communal areas, which means that you can go and put a notice under the door of an HMO tenant very easily. You can take a photo of that. You can have evidence that you have served the correct notice on that tenant. And you're able to get into the property. Now, in some cases, this means that you might even meet the tenant. Again, that's beneficial because it allows you to discuss the situation with them. And I always think that jaw-jaw is better than war-war. So it's far better if you can to try and come to some decision before you then have to escalate it to court. However, there are situations where unfortunately the tenant has asked for it. They're staying in the room, they're not paying their rent, they have decided they are not going to pay their rent, whatever you try and do, and they want to take it to the edge. And unfortunately, some of these tenants know how to play the system, they've done it before, and they have realised that they can get a certain amount of free accommodation for a period of time. And they're possibly also risking the fact that you might not take action. So bear that in mind, that you don't want to seem to be too much of a softy with tenants because they might be thinking, oh, I can stretch this out for as long as I need to. Now, I believe that as landlords, we're offering a great service. We're offering a service to the people in our community. And the recompense for that is the money we get in rent. I'm not trying to be greedy. I'm not trying to be hostile. I'm simply saying there's a great exchange there. Just like if I go to Tesco and I want some milk, I don't ask them to lend me the milk. I don't ask to say, can I borrow this milk and I'll repay you in a couple of weeks' time. They want payment there and then for the milk. It's the same with property. So I'm very clear about the fact that our tenants sign a contract and therefore they need to pay and then they can stay. But evictions are painful. And before you embark on the journey of evicting a tenant, it's just worth bearing in mind that some of the things I'm going to suggest today are not just about dealing with the practical side of it, but they're also helping you as a landlord, as an individual, to not go into a big black hole and a big hole of depression and anger, which is often where people can end up. One of the pieces of advice I would give, so this is probably the second piece of advice. First one is try and avoid it. But if you can't do that, if the inevitable has occurred and your tenant is now seriously in arrears, in the law, your tenant needs to be 8 weeks in arrears to be able to kick off a Section 8 eviction. And this is the most common type of eviction because this is the kind of eviction where you are really giving them notice to quit because they haven't paid their rent. And although the government talks a lot about Section 21s and no-fault evictions, actually, for many landlords, as long as their tenant pays, the tenant can stay. So usually a Section 8 eviction will occur where there are serious arrears of at least 8 weeks. Now, that 8-week period has to have occurred before you even submit the paperwork. So before you even give notice to your tenant, the eviction notice that you're going to be serving on them, that they already need to be 8 weeks in arrears before that happens. So I would recommend that you get some understanding of the law. This is the second tip. Get some understanding of the law. If you don't understand the process for Section 8 or Section 21, you're going to find yourself in a bit of a pickle because there's a very prescribed process for each of these procedures. And without understanding that process, it's very easy to get confused, to possibly serve the wrong type of paperwork, the wrong forms, and also not to collect the right data. So that then when and if it comes to court, you can show the judge that you've served everything correctly. And that was very important for us today. When we walked into court, we knew we had all the evidence in a chronological order. We had the AST, we had the Section 8, we had evidence of rent arrears. We had the whole rental statement for the tenants over the last 2.5 years. So we could show where they had started to pay rent and then they'd become erratic with their rent, they'd picked up again, and then they'd stop paying altogether. This is a very useful pattern because it allows the judge to see that you have got a longer term relationship with that tenant. You are keeping good records with regard to that tenancy and you understand the importance of paperwork. Unfortunately, we are in a legal situation. We have a legalistic culture where without the right paperwork, you could find that the case will be thrown out of court or adjourned, and you then have to wait even longer before you can evict the tenant. So knowing the law is very important. And if you haven't done any studies on this, I'd recommend that you go and have a look around. There are very good books that you can buy from Amazon on landlord law and practice. There are some rather dry but still useful YouTube videos on this. And you can go to a website like the NRLA. We use the NRLA quite a lot because their legal advice line is excellent. And I'd really recommend becoming a member of the NRLA, if nothing else, to be able to access their legal helpline. Knowing the law will also enable you to use the right series of forms because there is a correct form that you need to use to be able to issue to your tenant to give them the Section 8 notice to say that you are intending to start court proceedings for eviction. So the idea behind Section 8 is that you're seeking possession of that particular property, whether that's a room in a house or whether it's a whole house or a flat, whatever it is, whatever residence or residential property it is, that's what you're seeking. So the notice is to seek possession of the property. And a key part of that is understanding who is the claimant on the property. So if you're the owner, you are the claimant of that particular claim against the tenant. And getting the dates right is also critical. So you need to make sure that the date between when you serve the notice And when you then on the notice state that you will escalate this to court, there needs to be at least 2 weeks. So 2 weeks needs to pass between when you serve the notice and when you escalate that to court with a Section 8. Now, that partly depends on the grounds of the Section 8 that you're going to be using. If it's rent arrears, which is grounds 10, 11 and 12, one of them is about paying rent erratically, one of them is about being 8 weeks in arrears, and the other one is about something else to do with rent arrears. I can't remember right now off the top of my head. Those three are usually the grounds that you will state on your notice. And that then gives the tenant an understanding of why you've served the notice. What is it that you're asking to change effectively, or you're asking to possess the property? Why do you want to possess the property? Those grounds tells the tenant and also tells the judge what the grounds are. And you then, of course, have to provide evidence for those grounds. So the form is critical, that first form that you serve on the tenant. And this is, again, why knowing the law is really vital, that you understand the law around Section 8, you understand the process of Section 8, and that you have the right paperwork when it comes to Section 8. Now, the third piece of advice I would say is get your paperwork right. So while it is useful to utilise a friend or a colleague to check your paperwork, to check the dates are correct, to understand on the basis of your legal knowledge and research what those dates need to be, I would recommend that you get somebody with a bit more legal understanding. It could be a solicitor, it could be somebody from the NRLA, or it could be somebody who runs a solicitor's practice. They don't have to be a landlord and tenant expert to be able to check your paperwork. But I do think that having somebody else who can double check your paperwork and read it through and make sure that you've got all those different factors in and that the paperwork is squeaky clean is vital. Without that, the danger is that you will make the wrong submission, first of all to the tenant, and then when it comes to escalating it to court, and it can easily be thrown out on technicality. So let me just recap. So number one, try and avoid it at all costs if you can. Work with the tenant, try and liaise with the tenant and try and avoid escalating it to an eviction. Number two, know the law. Research the law, read about the law. Sad to say, as a landlord, we often have to have a good legal understanding of various different aspects of law, including landlord and tenant law, but also contract law, litigation law, the law of tort. There are various other aspects of the law that we have to understand. If you've never delved into those areas of aspect, well, or those areas of law, that's great. Good for you. But maybe the time is coming around the corner where the universe is going to say to you, it's about time you learned about this, and I'm going to put a difficult tenant in your way just so that you grow and learn as a person. And then the third thing is making sure that you get your paperwork right and having a second person to double check it and read through it to make sure that what you're submitting is correct. Now, the fourth aspect of this situation when you're evicting a tenant is to understand how you can then escalate this to court. So once the Section 8 notice has expired, you can then escalate this to court using the possession claim online system. Now, you don't have to use the online system. You can do it via a paper-based method. But the possession claim online system is a fairly straightforward, easy-to-use system that allows you to input the data. You will have to put in the data regarding the tenant, regarding yourself. You are the claimant, and make sure you get that right. Make sure you have the yourself as the claimant. And if there is another landlord or owner of the property, put their name down as well. So you're the claimant. Make sure you get an accurate list of arrears, because again, that will be asked for on the online system. When did this tenant fall into arrears? And there are two points to note. Number one is that they have to be in 8 weeks of arrears on the date when the Section 8 notice is served. But they also have to still be in 8 weeks in arrears on the date of the court hearing. Now, that's very, very difficult to judge, because what will happen when you put the paperwork into the possession claim online is it will automatically give you a court hearing date. You'll get a letter will be provided within a few minutes of you submitting your payment to the system, and it will tell you when that hearing is going to take place and which court it will take place at. Now, these hearings are normally pretty short. They're about 15 minutes. So you don't have a long time to be able to liaise and communicate with the judge when you're in the courtroom. So it's very important that your online procedures, your online submissions are really accurate. Before you therefore submit those online, make sure that you've double-checked them. If you're using a letting agency, make sure that you've got all the facts and figures from the letting agency, that all your dates are correct, that the AST lines up, that you've got everything correct on those forms. Because as soon as you submit them, the possession claim online will ask for payment of £355. And once you've paid that, effectively, you're then locked into the paperwork. Now, you can make an amendment, but that might cost you some money. There is a way of making an amendment to paperwork before your hearing is heard, but that will that's not particularly straightforward, and it doesn't always get accepted. So try and make sure that when you put your paperwork in on the possession claim online, which is just www.pcol.gov.uk, you make sure that all of that paperwork is correct. Once that happens, you'll be given a date. And put that in your diary, and then go home or go wherever you need to go and have a stiff drink. Because that's the hard work. Believe you me, getting all that paperwork correct and in order and filed and systemed and, you know, sorted is actually one of the hardest parts of doing a Section 8 or doing an eviction. Because there's always the fear that you might have got a date wrong, or a, you know, you might have put in a the wrong amount of money that the tenant owes. So double checking all those figures, double checking all that data is really vital. Then the court date will appear, and as you get ready for court, just a few things to remember really about the court. It is obviously a formal system. It's a formal process. You will be heard by a judge, and it's possible that the defendants will turn up to the courtroom. Now, fortunately, today, our tenants didn't turn up. So there was no kind of awkwardness in the lobby as we were waiting to be called into the courtroom. And that's one of the things I always worry about, is what I'm going to say to them. You know, I'll sort of smile and say, well, hello. But actually, you know, you're in a dispute situation. Actually, neither of you really likes each other. And, you know, if you were in the big wide world, you might just have a bit of a punch up. Well, not that I would ever do that, of course. However, in my head, I might be doing it. So that's one of the things to be aware of, that the defendant will have had their court papers served on them as well, and they will be able to turn up at court. It's their right to turn up and defend themselves. And they may have something that they wish to raise with the judge in the matter of a defence. And you might not have known what their defence was. However, unless they have already provided some semblance of a defence, usually the judge doesn't look on new material or new information very kindly. They want to know in advance that all parties have had information from each other so that they can go to the court and be prepared. So if you haven't heard anything from your tenant before you go to court, that's probably a good sign. So you'll turn up to court looking smart, of course. You want to show that you are respectful of the judge. So if you're a bloke, I'd always recommend a nice jacket and a shirt. You don't have to necessarily wear a tie, but certainly something quite smart. And a woman, again, I always wear something reasonably smart and a nice jacket, because I'm just trying to convey the idea of being a professional landlord who takes their investment seriously, and I'm here about a serious matter. They say, actions speak 1,000 words, and this is true, of course, when you turn up, how you're dressed will count. If you turn up scruffy, you know, not looking like you've shaved for a couple of days, and that's just the women, and, you know, you're still kind of just coming off a building site and you've got your joggers on and your builder's boots, it doesn't necessarily give the right impression. I think these days in courtroom, people do tend to dress a bit more casually, but I always think it's really good just to kind of go in and show to the judge that you are serious and that you are taking this matter seriously. And I think your dress does say something about that. In the courtroom, the judge will only ask you to speak when he or she wants to know any further information. You can present paperwork at that hearing, and a few times I've had to do that because the online system hasn't always spewed it out the other end for the judge. So don't assume that the judge has seen all the information that you've put onto the online possession claim online system. Sometimes they haven't. Always take a pack of everything. In fact, sometimes I take two packs so I can give a whole pack to the judge, which includes the AST, the Section 8 notice, the grounds for possession, the information about the rental arrears, the full rent, list. So all of the rent that tenant has ever been due to pay and the rent that they have paid, a statement. And then I would do other information. So, for example, one of the things that judges are becoming more keen to see is evidence that you have served the Section 8 notice. Now, if somebody other than you has served that Section 8 notice, they can provide a certificate. And this certificate will show, it's almost like an affidavit that says, I served the Section 8 certificate on this date to this address, and they sign it. And you would need to have a copy of that if it wasn't you who served the Section 8 notice. You might have taken photographs of serving the Section 8 notice, or somebody else might have done. Again, it's very useful if you can get the data off those photographs to show the date that Section 8 notice was served, because the judge will ask for it. They will ask for evidence that it was served on the correct date as shown on the Section 8 notice. You have to corroborate it with evidence. The judge is not just going to take your word for it that you served it on that date. He or she is going to want evidence to show that you did that. So bear that in mind. Now, the reason I emphasise that is because today we nearly fell down on that particular clause. I didn't serve the Section 8. It was one of my staff members who did. She took photos. We took the photos with us to court. But because we had no other sort of circumstantial evidence to prove that it was served on that date, the judge nearly decided to adjourn the hearing until we could get that evidence. But actually, what we were able to do is to get the data from the photo. So the embedded data, which showed that it was taken on the date that aligned with the serving of the Section 8 notice, and she was happy, and we got our possession order, our possession claim. So it all worked out well in the end, but it was a bit of a hair-raising moment. So make sure that you get that particular aspect right as well. You need to demonstrate with evidence that it's been served correctly, and of course you can do it by email as well. And this is something which we in the past haven't done any. In fact, we've hardly had to do very many Section 8s, which is great. But then you realise, actually, we're not as practised as this as we need to be. And maybe moving forward, this is an area of our own learning and growth. So we've made a list today of all the different areas that we need to kind of shore up on if ever we have to escalate an arrears to this extent again. So Section 8 is a technical possession. It really requires you to be on your game. If you haven't got anybody who's helping you, find someone. The NRLA or any other body that deals with legal landlord and tenant information could equally be as useful. And it's an area of the law which is quite tricky to navigate. So if you haven't already got help, do find some help, read up on the law, understand what it means, go to court prepared, make sure you got all your paperwork in order. But the final tip I would give is don't be scared. Don't be scared. Because even if you lose your case, and I have once lost a Section 8 case, again, due to a technicality, but even if you lose, remember every day's a school day. And we often say this in our business, that when things go wrong, when we make mistakes, when things don't go the way we were expecting them to, or when we've missed something, which we can all do in the business of life, every day is a school day. It's only money. And I know that sounds very glib, and you've worked very hard for your money, and you're investing it in HMOs, and you're wondering about how to maximize your returns. And I'm the same. I feel exactly the same. But I do remember that sometimes expensive lessons are the lessons we learn the best, and they're the lessons that stay with us the longest. And actually, those lessons can really catapult our progress. So see it as growth. If you don't get that possession order the first time, you can go back to court another time. There's nothing to stop you reapplying for that possession order. You may have to wait a period of time, again, till the tenant has built up enough arrears for you to reapply, but you can do it. Don't give up, keep fighting, and you can win this. I hope you have a great week, and I'll speak to you very soon. Thank you for listening to the HMO Success Podcast. If you'd like to know more about how you can create a profitable HMO business, please visit our website, hmosuccess.co.uk, to find out more. We have plenty of free tools and information for you there, and also on our Facebook group, The Ultimate HMO Success System. We look forward to connecting with you very soon. Thanks for listening.